at Wimbledon watching Ken Flack and Robert Seguso years ago.
Coke.
Yeah, they had 10 cans of Coke plus under their chairs.
Oh, yeah. These were the days.
Nutrition.
Yeah, things have changed. Slightly.
I mean, it'll give you a buzz, but it's very fizzy and difficult to keep a rhythm. Right. So, here we go. Karolina Muchová serving to stay in this match. She's got to be telling herself, it's just one break. It's one break. It might be 5-2, but if I can hold here, I can put some pressure on Sabalenka to serve it out. That's her first task. Muchová serves. Down the tee is a good one. Blocked back on the backhand side by Sabalenka. Lands on the serve on the baseline. And the forehand from Muchová goes in the net. She stares at the court and the call and the ball mark, but it was in. And it's love 15.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I tell you, I would be in shock if Muchová was able to come back in this match. It's almost like you want to draw because they played such great, phenomenal match. But after all, just Sabalenka, so strong, so powerful.
She's pulled away a little bit in these closing stages, and another slightly tired-looking backhand from Muchová goes into the net. Off a good return from Sabalenka, and it's love 30. It's been a bruising encounter, a grueling encounter, a brilliant encounter. But right now, it seems for Karolina Muchová like her time is coming to an end. She's got love 30 at 2-5. Can she dig herself out of this hole?
Merci.
Crowd quiet. And Muchová serves. This time she goes down the tee again, and the backhand return goes long from Sabalenka. Muchová backpedaling just quickly to get out of the way of the ball. Didn't want it to hit her on the full. That would have been the point for Sabalenka. She's 15-30. Good first serve again. She just gathers herself and gets ready to begin her service motion. She's ready now. Muchová serves. Down the tee. Sabalenka was there, but it was just long. Sabalenka takes one big step forward. Muchová will have to quickly recover from her serve to cope with the return of Sabalenka, which is a good one, but it's a good serve onto the sideline. Mukova's up to a short reply quickly and puts the forehand away.
She's not done yet. It's great to see that she still has something left in the tank.
Great variety on that second serve. That was a good kick serve, shorter. Really pulled Sabalenka out of court. Got the short response she wanted and easy forehand put away. Relatively easy. Nothing's this easy in these circumstances. You're serving to stay in the tournament. But it's 30-all. Muchová serving. Again, sort of goes down the middle of the court this time. Slice backhand from Muchová is over the baseline, and it's match point Sabalenka. Massive return drew the error. She, after 2 hours, 54 minutes of the most intense battle between these two, we're at match point. Oh, the crowd have loved it. They'd like some more, probably. Sabalenka wants to finish it right here, right now. Muchová serves. Match point down. Serve is good to the backhand of Sabalenka. Blocks it back. It's short. Muchová should put it away, and she does. It inside out into the open court. Saves the first match point.
Well, I love the heart that Muchová is showing here. Just still at it, and she's stretching her calf muscle as she's going to the baseline to serve here at deuce. You know how much everything must hurt right now.
Yep. It's been tough. But she's still in there. She's saved match point. Back to deuce. She serves. Off the top of the net and goes long. Two ball boys try and get that ball. Only one of them manages it. And Muchová reloads and goes again. Second serve. Kick to the backhand of Sabalenka, who's right on top of it. Slice backhand from Muchová. Sabalenka onto the short ball, but puts it in the net and turns away in disgust. just snatched at that backhand a little. Avantage. Desperately wants to finish it here.
You know, same thing, same difference, you know, different match, but you have to go to the finish line, and Mohova is not going to give it to her. She's going to have to earn it.
Absolutely. She is not going to just fold and give away this match. It's the beauty of the scoring system in tennis. It's not over till that last point is finished. First serve in the net. Bounces the ball with the racket three times and then bounces it with her hand six times. Game point. Second serve to the backhand of Sabalenka, straight down the middle. The return is really good and deep, but Mukova gets it back into play. It's short enough that it forces Sabalenka to come forward. That's not where she wants to be, and she misses the forehand wide. And what a great hold of serve that is from Karolina Mukova. She's still alive. She saved one match point, and now Sabalenka has to serve to finish this off.
What an effort. What an effort from this young woman, trying to move her legs and getting ready to go and return here after taking the sweat off her forehead with her towel and toweling off. And it is Sabalenka serving for the match, as you mentioned, 5-3 here in this final set.
Sabalenka starts with a serve out wide. Oh, clobbered up the line from Mukova. Sabalenka didn't even move.
I mean, do you expect any less at this stage of the match? This is out of this world, this match. Oh. Best semifinal ever in a major, I'm telling you.
We've seen some great shots in this match, but that was one of the very best. First serve from Sabalenka at love 15. Amazing depth from Mukova, who then follows it with a slice backhand that is into the net, and she leans back and lifts the racket over her head. Can't believe she missed that. It was such a great return with such depth that Sabalenka just fed the ball back to her. She was in position to do what she wanted to do with the ball, but she just let it fall short. And it's 15-all. Sabalenka quickly back into position. Backhand return from Mukova and the backhand in the net from Sabalenka. There must be some nerves there.
I would be shocked. Like everybody else, I think, if Mohova was able to come back in this match. We've seen this happen so many times, though, that a player cannot go through the finish line.
Yep.
Oh, we're close to 3 hours on this clock.
Sabalenka serves, takes a bit of space off the first serve, and the backhand then from Sabalenka is wild over the baseline. And it's two breakback points. She is bouncing the ball with her racket, walking back to the ball boy, taking a little extra time between the points, but she can't believe that she's given Mukova the chance to break back and get back on serve in this set. Mukova waits for the return about 6-7 feet behind the baseline. Serve down the tee, it's just wide. Mukova kicks the ball to the ball boy, scampering back to his mark. And now she moves a little bit forward, inching towards the baseline to return the second serve of Sabalenka. Break point. It's a good second serve. Out wide on the angle. Sabalenka gets the backhand she wants, but she pulls it into the tram lines. And we're back on serve in this third set. There's more.
Wow. Seriously. I mean, this is, you know, Sabalenka, as I was saying, if those aren't four stairs, that little margin starts going the other way around, and that's exactly what she's doing, just taking all the risk again, but this time just missing the mark. And we haven't seen that since the beginning of this match. It hasn't been that Sabalenka, you know, has lost so many of points in a row with making so many mistakes. And now she's at 43 winners for 47-4. She was even throughout the match, or maybe plus two. This is, things are changing. She knows how close she is, and she can't finish.
Yep.
She had a match point that was about, well, it was at 2:54 on the clock. It's 2:59. We're closing on three-hour match, so it was only 6 minutes ago. Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Yeah, the time will keep going.
What is she thinking out there?
Well, she's already back out
she's
on court.
She's back out
before,
to play before time is
resumed.
Closed. It's cold, sorry.
So is Mukova. There we go. They're keen to get out there. Mukova, what a boost that has given her. She might be feeling tired. She might be feeling mentally exhausted. But, yeah, this will get
adrenaline.
You over it. Now she has the chance to get back into this match. We said at 2-5, she had to be telling herself, one break. It's just one break. Anything can happen, especially with Sabalenka. And she's back on track. She's back on serve.
You know, the best end of this match would be to go to tiebreak in the third.
It would.
That will be fitting for how good they both have been throughout this all encounter.
You get the feeling Sabalenka might have a better chance of finishing it off here than she did on her own serve. She actually served
fine. Well,
we
thought so at 5-2.
Good first serve from Mukova on
now
the angle.
Now the crowd, listen to the crowd.
Forehammer turn in the net. Again, a sort of blocked shot. She didn't read that serve. It's 15 love. It's good variety on the serve from Mukova. Just trying to keep Sabalenka guessing, because if Sabalenka's in place to hit that ball, well, it comes thundering back as the sun disappears behind the clouds. And Sabalenka twiddles her racket, waiting for the serve of Mukova, which comes to the backhand side. She has to stick her racket out. A serve volley from Mukova. Forehand volley into the open court. 30 love.
Who are you? Who are you?
Where have you been?
Oh, she's done it a few times,
she
but
has.
This is ridiculous.
She has been in semi-finals before, but she's never played this well in any
serve
of those semis.
And volley, perfectly, perfect timing, perfect execution from Mukova. 30 love here, 4-5.
I think that was the first serve volley she's done in this set.
No, she's done, well, in the
in
set,
this set,
yeah. She's done it throughout the match, but
yeah.
This one was pretty spectacular.
She saved it up in this set for a very important point. She serves down the tee. Sabalenka gets there. Drop shot from Mukova is going to be a brilliant one. Sabalenka gets it just, but is out. And it's 40 love. This is smart play from Mukova. It's good thinking. Sabalenka's just going to go and
change racket.
And change
I don't
racket.
Think she. I don't think she broke the string. I think mean, she's just decided to change racket here. Maybe wanted to slow down things as Mukova is about to get ready to serve. It's like, oh, there's nobody across.
She's still at her bag trying to find the right racket.
Oh my!
She might just have pulled back out the one she had before. I think she has changed it.
40 love.
This is how to serve to stay in the match.
Now she's going to go
tee.
She's got a good tee here. Sliced tee.
She might serve and volley again.
Yeah. Possible.
40 love. Chance to, three chances to level it up. She does
she go
out wide.
Yeah. She's not listening.
This is the next phase of tennis, to get these players with earpieces in.
Listen to us. Come on, listen.
Second serve from Mukova. Get to the backhand of Sabalenka, who tries to go cross court on a bit more of an angle than it goes in the net.
And not one reaction for Mukova, because she knows she doesn't want to waste any energy. Not one fist bump, nothing. She came back from 5-2 down, save match point already. All she's doing is stretching her body, stretching her calves, trying to move around to make sure that she doesn't cramp. 5-all in this final set. And now changing her racket as well. Sabalenka about to serve. And she's like, wait. Is this new balls? Wait.
Where are we? 13, 26, 31,
it is.
36.
Yes. Thank you, Stefan. So somebody is following this match. So new balls, change stick for Mukova.
Yeah, it is. Where did you write that out?
Oh, he's so good. Because
he heard.
He's paying attention.
Very good at maths.
We're... 2 out of 3 here are completely out of it.
We're messing about here. What's going on? Sabalenka serves at 5-all. It's wide. 3 hours, 4 minutes on the clock. Second serve as Mukova waits and moves forward. And she hits the forehand aggressively straight down the middle. Sabalenka moves backwards. Slice backhand from Mukova. Draws the error on the forehand from Sabalenka. Pats her racket.
She's showing to
gesturing.
Her team that she doesn't have a racket. She doesn't like that racket. They're bringing her racket from her team.
She's run to the back of the court to grab a racket from one of her team. They must have come back from the stringer quickly enough.
But they don't normally go to the team with the racket.
No, then the team normally
it's
give
so
it to
strange.
The...
Well, let's see.
Ball boys to pass on.
She's
but
down love 15. She's switching racket. Let's see how this one goes.
Maybe this one's got an extra 20 miles an hour in it. Let's have a look. Love 15. She takes a bit of pace off and kicks it to the backhand of Mukova, who can't get it into court. It's deep and
Kenza.
It's 15 all.
All right. She won 1 point with that racket. I'm taking notes.
She'll probably keep changing it just to make it more difficult for you. But not if she keeps winning the point, she won't be changing it. 15-all. 5 games all in this final set. Max, good stat. Another Czech, Barbora Krejčíková, saved match point in the semi-final against Maria Sakkari.
Yeah, I remember exactly what she did that day. I'm going to tell you in a minute.
Went on to win the title as Muchová comes forward onto the return. Backhand from Sabalenka is really good and deep pushes. Had Muchová sort of crouching at the baseline. She did well to get the ball even into court, but the forehand's away for a winner.
And the way she returned that ball, I thought she was coming in behind the return, which I thought it was a brilliant play, but then she retracted herself. And I mean, she couldn't catch up with the point. She was completely, you know, unbalanced throughout the rest of the point. It would have been great to see her come forward. 30-15, 5-0.
Serve just out from...
By the way, that match point, Krejčíková came in to the net.
There you go.
Hit a winner volley.
Not surprising for one of the world's best doubles players.
Yep.
Second serve from Sabalenka at 30-15. Kicker to the backhand of Muchová, who plays it deep down the middle of the court, but she overdoes it, and it's 40-15. Ornia in Cork says, hi Sophie and Simon, Peroni 0.0 or Heineken 0%, both taste the same as their alcoholic version.
I agree.
I'm going to stop reading this now because they don't.
No, I disagree.
They're not bad. Actually, they're not bad, but they're not quite.
Best beer, non-alcoholic.
Go on.
Athletic Brewery, Connecticut.
Brewdog. Brewdog is quite good.
It's in the States. Best one ever.
But she said, cheering on Muchová in my kitchen while making spag bol for dinner.
What's that?
Spaghetti bolognese.
Oh, spag bol.
Double
fault
from Sabalenka at 40-15.
Oh, boy.
It was long.
Fifth of the match for Sabalenka. None on the side of Muchová here. Fifth or fourth?
Yeah, fifth, I think.
Yeah.
Tim's watching in Taunton. Love my tennis, don't own the facilities to watch terrestrial TV only, so thank you guys for painting the pictures and being entertaining with it. Our pleasure, Tim. Thanks for listening.
First serve long.
Very long.
Quite long.
A bit long. Second serve, Sabalenka. Oh, double fault again. That one was halfway up the net from Sabalenka.
Now this is right here.
Back to juice.
These double faults could send the message of this is over for Sabalenka, as far as I'm concerned.
Kevin's telling us to
stop talking so many times.
Don't talk about beer, says Kevin. I've got 5 hours of work left. He wants a Brewdog Elvis Juice Citrus IPA. God, that sounds nice. But I still have 5 hours of work to go. Well, we've got quite a long day to go here still. As Sabalenka serves off the top of the net and just onto the sideline. Muchová thinks for a second about going to have a look at it. Decides not to. So it'll be a first serve again. Kick it down the tee. It's pretty good. And Muchová just sticks her racket out. It lands short. But the backhand is tight and it's long from Sabalenka. Two double faults and a missed backhand. And she is suddenly staring breakpoint in the face at 5-all in this final set.
Would you believe it? What really did her last year throughout 2022 was the double faults.
Yeah.
She had more double fault than most players on tour, and it is the double fault here that really also is putting a very big pressure on Sabalenka. Serve.
Much better serve, but it's a great return from Muchová, who's up the net to put it away, puts the forehand away. She's got the break. Karolina Muchová will serve for this match. She leads 6-5 in the third. Is there another twist in the tale?
Would you believe it? Would you believe that she just was 5-2 down and is coming back here to serve for it and to get a place in the final here at Roland Garros 2023. Sabalenka is talking to a bench. Yeah, go ahead.
She's gone all the way back to the back of the court. She's now talking to her team about something, whether it be her racket or what. She's not happy. She's just wandering back to her chair. She's only got 25 seconds left. She's not going to be doing much sitting down in this changeover. She goes quickly to the fridge instead.
Gonna put the ice on her face again, finishing whatever she's drinking, and another one. I'm telling you, she's having Perrier. I don't know how she does it.
3 hours, 10 minutes.
Not because, you know, I love Perrier. I'm just saying, you know, it will make you fizzy. Yeah, make you burp on the court.
You'd think so, yeah. Pam Shriver, who's been listening to us on Radio Roland Garros, thank you, Pam, all week. She says, if this level of excellence is maintained till the end, this semi-final will go down as one of the greatest ever played at a major. Just outstanding.
That's exactly what I said. I totally agree, Pammy. You're right.
High quality. And now it is Karolina Muchová who is going to serve for a place in the Roland Garros final.
Merci. Les joueurs sont prêts. Merci.
Made the semis of the Australian Open in 2021. Trying to become the fifth Czech woman to make the final here. Serves. Out wide, just wide. Second serve as Sabalenka waits, swirls her racket a couple of times. Looks to her left, staring down the court. Slow second serve from Mukova as the backhand return comes in from Sabalenka, but then she nets the second one. And she turns away and walks slowly to her mark, slightly despondent looking.
You know,
Sabalenka.
This is the third time she's serving for the match, by the way. She served for the match at 5-4 in the second set, at 6-5 in the second set, went to a tie break, lost that second set tie break. So it's the third time. The charm, it's looking like it right now.
Lucky third.
Absolutely
third
incredible.
Lucky. 15 love. Where does she go? She goes to the backhand of Sabalenka, who returns way, way long over the baseline. And 2 points now for Karolina Muchová.
Second time that Muchová is now having some kind of reaction after she broke Sabalenka. You could see her react with the fist pump. And she did it again here after the unforced return error from Sabalenka. 30 love, 6-5, final set. 3 hours and 12 minutes on the clock.
I think she's saving her celebrations for when she wins it, if she wins it. Serves down the tee. Sabalenka backhand down the middle of the court. Forehand cross court from Muchová. Now she goes up the line. Sabalenka backhand down the middle of the court. Slice backhand drop shot from Muchová. Sabalenka gets there, but it goes in the net. And it is 3 match points to Karolina Muchová. What a turnaround in this match. Unbelievable.
I mean, listen, I said it at 5-2. I said I would eat my hat if she was coming back in this match. Where's my hat? Give me a hat. Somebody.
I don't know. We've got
where's
some
your,
cakes.
Where's
some
your cake. Hat? Where's your hurry?
Eat your cakes.
Love to be wrong on that one, I tell you.
Merci.
So exciting.
Match
so
points.
Exciting.
3 match points, Karolina Muchová. For a place in the Roland Garros final.
Ace down the tee.
She serves. It's long. Just. Sabalenka was on it.
The tee, though.
She just waits. Muchová takes her time on this second serve. Kicks it to the backhand of Sabalenka, who reaches for it on the two-hander. Two-hander up the line from Muchová. The forehand is mishit by Sabalenka. It's wide! And Karolina Muchová can't believe it. She has won this incredible semi-final. She is through to her first Grand Slam final. What a performance. What a match between these two. 7-6, 6-7, 7-5. Karolina Muchová is in to the Roland Garros final.
Oh, listen to that crowd. Absolutely exceptional. Who would have believed that? I was not one of them when she was down 5-2. Oh, yeah, we can applaud her because, wow, I mean, what an amazing final. But it was really when it got tight where Sabalenka started to make a little bit of mistakes and by that token give another chance, another lifeline to Muchová, who right away seized it. She's on her chair. I think the tears of emotion are coming out. And understandably, who's going to make the interview? Who's going to do the interview right now?
Looks I don't like Mats.
Yeah, Mats Wielander. Good luck, Mats.
Well, I mean, what a
what
match.
What do you say?
What a match that was. And what a performance by Karolina Muchová. 5-2 down in the final set. Match point down. She hit a good serve and a good forehand winner to save it. And then from then on, it was all Muchová. Somehow, she turned it round. And well, Sabalenka will obviously regret not being able to finish it off, but she played her part in an incredible semi-final. We've seen and read the reaction from everybody listening out there. The crowd totally enthralled in that match. And now she's through to the final. And, well, one match, one win away from the first Grand Slam title. She'll play the winner of Iga Świątek and Beatriz Haddad-Maia later on today. Let's have a listen to what she says with Mats Wielander, the 3-time champion here.
Karolina, congratulations. An incredible match from the first point to the last. Let's start in the end. 5-2 down. What did you do? except play amazing.
Thank you very much.
Mark Hessel.
Thank you very much, everyone. I don't really know what happened. You know, the atmosphere, the people are just pushing me all the matches. It's unbelievable. I just try to keep fighting and it worked. I really don't know what happened. I'm so happy.
Merci. Well, a lot has to do with your attitude, but a lot has to do with your game. Your game is incredible. The combination of shots, slice, backhands, drop shots, coming to the net. I mean, we don't see that much. So natural. Is that normal?
Well, thank you again.
Not normal for me.
No, I mean, I've heard it. People are telling that to me, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to get it to my head, you know, too much to become cocky or anything. I'm just trying to play my game, and we work on it, and I'm glad it works so well. I thank to my team and everyone. We work on this together, so it's our success.
And last question. The match was, you were winning 7-6, 2-love, then it turned again, and you haven't played that many big matches in big tournaments. How did you get used to that? Because that's complicated.
Just look around. It's pretty easy here on this beautiful stadium with so many people watching, and I would repeat myself again. It goes just nice with everyone. You know, I... Thank you. I go for the towel and people there cheering on me on both sides. I hear my name. It's an incredible feeling.
Okay. Carolina, thank you very much.
Thank
well
you.
Done. Bravo.
Well,
amazing. Good luck in the final. Qualifié pour le final. Carola Muchova.
The microphone might not have been working very well, but her game certainly was. And Sophie, I mean, it's great to see someone get to a final who's got variety, who's got smart, you know, who can figure out difficult situations and play like that on a stage like that. It's just great to see.
Look, I said it when we lost Ash Barty, and that was going to put a really, really, mark on women's tennis, and it did. But I think that, you know, Onshaber being on the tour, you know, helped out. I think this... You know, seeing Muchova being healthy now is going to contribute to having lost, you know, the number one player in the world at that time with that variety in her game. And I sure think that also the way that she was able to answer those questions and really explain and be so real and so in the present moment to explain what this means and how big this is and how can you not value every single minute of the experience that she has had here. And I hope, you know, she recovers very quickly. I mean, she has obviously one day off tomorrow. I hope, and she's going to hope for her sake, that this Świątek match is going to be very long. 3 hours and 13 minutes on court. And really, the fact that, you know, as we heard, Patrick Mouratoglou said it, I said it throughout the coverage, she felt like she belonged, that she's been there, done that many, many, many times. And for her to react the way she reacted mentally throughout this match and able to, you know, to stay with it, I think this was one of the best semifinal ever on the women's tour in a major, for sure, and if not, period, in a match. I actually wrote the score at 5-2. Mm-hmm. When it was 5-2, I wrote it in 6-2. And I took pictures. I just tweeted the whole thing. And, you know, I'd love to be wrong. And I love to be wrong on that one. Don't look at me like this, Marcus, who has entered the building. Not Elvis, but Marcus has entered the building. I'm wrong so many times, but this one, so happy to be wrong. I feel for Sabalenka, but at the end, you have to give it to Mokhova, how she took, you know, without having the same experience that Sabalenka had, to be able to come through in this match. You know, Billie Jean King always say there's three things in tennis: the heart, the guts, and the mind. All this was there.
Yep.
All three of them, for both of them, throughout the match.
Yep.
But at the end, it was Mokhova who really, really was able to pull it out. And I mean, it's incredible. What a victory.
Well, it goes without saying, when you lose a match like that, it'll hurt. Sabalenka, you know, had her chances. She served for the match. She had the match point on the Mukova serve, but she couldn't get it done. And Mukova pulled off an incredible recovery. Amazing turnaround. And, you know, we it's easy to exaggerate, and suddenly, you know, you're in the middle of the moment, you think, oh, this is the best match ever. But just reading some of the messages from people saying how good a match that was just tells you.
But remember, it's not that Sabalenka lost that match, except maybe with the unforced error at the end, where that she started to really hit everywhere and didn't keep that consistency. But on match point, remember what happened on match point? It was Mukhova who hit that forehand inside out winner. She went for it. It wasn't anything that, you know, Sabalenka did wrong. So it's all just to show that, you know, I wish it had gone to actually a tiebreak, to tell you the truth, because that was, you know, I think that would have affected the whole match. But in all, wow. I mean, so lucky to have been in the presence of greatness and with you and with Gigi earlier. You know, thank God Marcus was not next to me, because there would have been, complete... well, anyway. But he's here now, I heard.
He is here. He'll be on air soon for the second semi-final. Igo Świątek and Beatriz Hadaj-Maja.
Try to make, do justice to what, you know, after what we've done. All right? You know, get to that level, will you?
I think as a couple of people have pointed out...
So, I love you, Marcus.
Never have words rung so non-true.
I'm just kidding.
But a couple of messages just quickly. Richard saying, brilliant comeback by Mukhova.
I thought he was going to say by you and I.
Well, of course, yeah. Great stand-in work by Simon. Yeah, no, that doesn't. Heather says, Marcus will be unbelievably smug. And I think he might be.
You know what's
going to
happen, right? As soon as I leave, you don't know. I mean, I might have to listen to how much, you know, he's gonna start bashing me when I leave, when I get out of that door, and he has the mic for himself. He's already savoring that moment. He knows.
Yeah, Arvin says, I just want to know how insufferable Marcus will be tonight at the dinner. It depends
well,
how
he's
long
buying.
Świątek
I heard he was buying dinner, so it's all good.
It depends how long Świątek and Hadaj-Maja go as to how that goes.
Oh, boy.
But what a match. We have one finalist decided. That is Karolina Mukhova from the Czech Republic, second Czech finalist in the last 3 years. Barbora Krejčíková winning here in 2021, of course. Amazing sort of conveyor belt of talent that the Czechs seem to produce, especially on the women's side.
What do they do? If I was a federation, I would like to just fly there every other week to say, hey, how do you do it? Please tell me, because this is incredible.
Yep.
It has not stopped. It has not, you know, no deep down, nothing. It has not stopped. They keep producing. And there's more to come. Andreeva? The Andreeva sisters.
Yeah. Well, Russians.
Fruviatova. I knew there was one of the sisters. There's going to be those four could be in the top 10 easily, as being two sets of sibling, which we've never seen at the same time. We've seen siblings. We've seen the Maleva sisters. Of course, the Williams sisters. Are you bored listening to me? Because you look like Marcus is just like standing with a little smirk.
I'm just trying to get to Stefan's awesome package.
He's got a little smirk on his face.
It's proving quite difficult.
Hey, listen. Hey. Three
packages.
Against one now. Okay, very good one. Well, we're going to listen to his awesome package. I'm going to take a little bit of
Sophie.
A leave of absence here, because it seems like you guys can, have guys talk now. All right. Au revoir, everybody.
Merci, Sophie.
Right,
thank you for all your work. Stefan's been putting together a very good package, I should clarify. And we're going to learn a little bit about the two semi-finalists coming up. Igo Świątek and Beatriz Hadaj-Maja.
Jabeur in front of us.
Oh, nice.
Serves an ace that flies past Beatriz Hadaj-Maja to bring up set point. That was well timed. How she'd love another one now. Where's she going to go with this? Up goes the ball. She's going down the middle. It's pushed back into play by Hadaj-Maja, but it's a short ball. It's got back, is it? No. Hadashmaier behind her baseline, red where the smash was going to go. She did get racket on ball, but she couldn't guide it back into the court. And that means that with exactly 43 minutes on the clock, Ons Jabeur has taken the first set in this first women's quarterfinal of the day, third in all by 6-3. It's all happening here. Jabeur has saved two set points on her serve, but now Beatrice Hadashmaier has an opportunity to close it out on her own serve.
She's going to go wide, you know it.
Oh, yeah, and she pulled out of her service motion just then because of that. Now she has serve backhand reply from Jabeur. Forehand down the line, winner! Beatrice Hadashmaier. We're going into a decider.
Very soft serve, backhand to the backhand swung cross court and deep from Jabeur. Jabeur with the backhand placed down the line. The pickup from Hadashmaier. It's a mid-court ball. Jabeur should deal with it. She's placing. There's no pace on these balls. She's placing this ball in. She is moving the Brazilian around. She's got a mid-court ball again. She overhits it. And Beatrice Hadashmaier is in shock. She has her mouth open, her hand on her head. The box absolutely delighted. For this lovely young lady at the age of 27, Ons Jabeur makes her way around the net and there's a hug between the two. It is a lovely sight to see. It was a very different Ons Jabeur we saw in that third set as she walks very slowly back to her chair. But this applause is all about this young lady, 27 years old, who's become the first Brazilian woman to reach a Grand Slam semi-final since Maria Bueno in 1968. Incredible. And for the third match in a row, she has come from a set down. And listen to the noise.
Yeah, well, we played once and it was last year in the middle of the year. It was three sets and I won in the end of the match, so it's a very tough one. She's the number one in the, and she's one of the best players we have from the last years. She's young, she's a nice person as well, so yeah, she already won twice here. I'll try to enjoy, I'll try to play every single point, I'll leave everything on the court, and yeah, I have nothing to lose. I'll try to go for it and do my best shots and think about the things that I need to improve as well.
Serve sits up. It's crunched by Świątek. Goes back to the backhand of Świątek, who adjusts herself and goes cross-court. This is set point. Backhand is pushed very, very deep. Finds the line. Mid-court ball. Cross-court winner. And Iga Świątek breaks Coco Gauff to love to take the set in 47 minutes by 6-4.
And it's given Iga Świątek, the world number one and the two-time champion, defending champion here, two match points. This is what it's like playing Świątek. It's cruel, isn't it? She's played well, Coco Gauff.
She
and
has.
It's 6-4, 5-2, 15-40. But as you said, she's got to take the positives. She's still out there. It's not over yet.
Merci.
Gauff serves. Again goes out wide. Świątek hammers it forehand into the net from Gauff and it's over. It's done. Iga Świątek pumps the air, punches the air several times as she walks towards the net to shake hands with Coco Gauff. A nice handshake between the two. A lot of respect there, but it is the world number one who marches on her inexorable way, it seems, towards another Roland Garros title. Very, very much the woman to beat as she puts her hand to her ear to see who wants the ball that she's got in her hand, and then she plays it up into the stand. But she is looking very, very sharp here at Roland Garros once more, chasing a third title, and who's to say she's not going to be lifting the trophy come Saturday afternoon.
Well, for sure, you know, she's the fighter, and she showed on even today that she's fighting to the last ball, and it pays off. So, for sure, you have to kind of be ready, even when you feel like you're bleeding or whatever. You have to play every point 100%. We played in Toronto, and I would say actually this was one of the matches that had similar conditions in terms of the wind. It was also windy that day, but obviously surface different. So we'll see. I've never played against her on clay, and again, as before any other match, I will kind of focus on myself and what I want to do on court.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Well, that was the voice of Iga Swiatek, who is poised to come out onto court Philippe Chatrier, the second of the semi-finals. If it's anything like the first, we're in for a relatively late night. No one's going to be complaining about that. Courtney Nguyen is alongside me. Marc Mouillet, the MC, is in his usual position, just waiting with a microphone in his hand, and we can see the players backstage. Beatrice Adage-Meyer is walking up that steep staircase that leads to the holding area, and as soon as she hears her introduction, she will emerge into the dappled sunlight. Half the court still in sunshine. It's another very warm early summer's afternoon in Paris.
Première joueuse à entrer sur le court et 14e mondiale pour la première fois en demi-finale en Grand Chelem, et les Brésiliennes Beatrice Adage-Meyer.
Brand new experience for Beatrice Adage-Meyer, who has fought tooth and nail to make it through to her first Grand Slam semi-final. And she does, of course, have a winning record, as we just heard, against Iga Swiatek, albeit on a different surface, that one previous encounter, which, by the way, lasted 3 hours. Overtime tonight is a definite possibility, as Iga prepares to make her entrance. Headphones on.
Triple vainqueur en Grand Chelem, dont deux fois ici Roland Garros, la tenante du titre, la Polonaise Iga Świątek.
Number of Polish flags very evident as the world number one walks out onto court again. And don't forget, she has to win this match today, despite the defeat for Aryna Sabalenka, to remain at number one in the world, where she's been for the past 62 weeks. A defeat would make it a very bittersweet afternoon for Sabalenka, who would climb to one despite losing that epic just a few moments ago against Karolina Muchova. Courtney, good afternoon. Good evening, in
fact. Good evening. You know, Iga Swiatek keeps trying to avoid these night sessions, but the night sessions seem to find her. It's a much later start than I think she was anticipating, but she knows how to handle herself in those moments. Probably take a little bit of a lie down between sets.
Well, Beatrice is keen to get on with it. She's already out in the middle, waiting for the introductions with the two little mascots, the photographs that will be taken, and then the coin toss. Iga has just got some work to do by her chair. She's collected a couple of towels. She's having a drink. She's still listening to her music on her headphones. And finally, she removes those, puts them inside one of her bags, and now she will join the umpire, the two mascots, and her opponent on court.
Nos pensées les accompagnent. Ladies and gentlemen, Roland Garros and the French Tennis Federation would like to hold a moment of silence to pay tribute to the victims of the attack in Annecy that occurred this morning. Our thoughts are with them. Merci. Okay. Thank you.
Well, if you haven't heard the news,
the previous rounds, is there any question still?
As we go through the usual preliminaries on court, a shocking incident early today saw, I think, at least two preschool age children stabbed, two adults as well. Some of the injuries are very serious. Details are still coming through, but it's very appropriate that the FFT have made a mark and made tribute to those who've been affected by that horrendous incident. Our thoughts with everybody, and we sincerely hope that they all make a full recovery. There are, of course, much more important things than tennis matches, but we will focus on what promises to be a fascinating battle. I mean, first things first. I mean, there are so many contrasts. We know that Iga Swiatek, Courtney, is already a two-time champion. She's so used to big moments at the back end of Grand Slam events. This is brand new for Beatrice Adage-Meyer. And just in terms of their passage through to the semi-finals, I mean, we're talking about something like 12 and a half hours on court for Beatrice, less than six for Świątek. Is that going to be a factor, do you think?
It could be a factor. I mean, ultimately, not a negative for Iga Świątek. She's used to kind of moving through draws at a pretty methodical and clinical rate. So a lot of times she does find herself in these late stages, in semifinals, in finals, without spending too much time on the court. But Beatriz Hadadmaya, as you said, Marcus has spent a lot of time on court, and she has gone through three set match after three set match, including her big win in the last round over Ons Jabeur, where Ons Jabeur said, look, she's a beast. She was actually more physically prepared for that match than I was, despite the fact that Ons had spent far less time on court. It could be an issue. I mean, there is a recovery that needs to take place for Hadadmaya. She had pulled off that win over Ons Jabeur just yesterday, so it's a pretty quick turnaround. So, you know, it does catch up with you over time, especially with the nerves, especially with the history that she's making for Brazilian tennis here on this side of the draw. So there's a lot going on for her, and that is not even to say and even get to the puzzle of trying to solve the world number one.
Which very few people are able to work out. Hadadmaya is the first Brazilian woman to reach a Grand Slam semi-final since Maria Bueno at the US Open in 1968. The first Brazilian woman to reach a Roland Garros semi-final in the Open era. That's the history that she's looking to, well, I guess, gain inspiration from, but she doesn't want to think too much about that sort of thing. And just to clarify, 12 hours and 55 minutes, and all that after a 1 hour, 4 minute victory in the first round. Since then, 2 hours and 43 against Schneider, 2 hours and 48 against Alexandrova, 3 hours and 51 to see off Cerevisiae Tormo, and 2 hours and 29 against Ons Jabeur. It's just 5 hours and 32 minutes by comparison for Iga Świątek. Four and love against Liu, love and love against Wang, 5-1 and a retirement against Serenko, 4-2 against Coco Gauff. It all began with a 4-0 victory against Buxa in the first round. Now, we heard just a few moments ago, Courtney, from Hadadmaya. She says, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to go for it. I'll make improvements where I have to. What improvements in particular do you think she will be trying to work on today to have a really good chance of perhaps causing upset?
Yeah, I mean, Hadadmaya is one of the best servers on tour, and what she can do in terms of the matchup against Iga Świątek is try to get through her service game at a pretty reasonable clip. Biggest thing for Świątek, she doesn't really panic or worry too much when her own serve is getting broken. It has happened. It happens at times, and she just kind of puts her head down and keeps going to work. Where pressure starts to build up is when she can't break. This is a player who is breaking in Roland Garros over 70% of the time. And when we think about what the foundational tenets are of tennis, which is you're supposed to hold your serve, she is breaking serve 70% of the time. That is a crazy, crazy number. She already averages upwards of, you know, 50% on the tour level anyway for the season. So that's where Iga Świątek just breaks your game and breaks your confidence. But that is where Hadadmaya, with the weapons that she has on that serve, maybe not as effective on clay as it is on grass or hard courts, but it still should be a shot that, if she is playing well, can keep the Świątek break game at bay.
Well, if she does win today, she'll become the first Brazilian woman to reach a Grand Slam final in the Open era. I mean, you can mention all these statistics. She is on the cusp of greatness. But being on the cusp is very different from getting there. Świątek is looking to become the first woman to reach back-to-back finals at Roland Garros since Simona Halep, 2017 and 2018. She became the youngest woman to reach back-to-back finals here since Anna Ivanovic, 2007 and 2008. She turned 22 during these championships, of course. If she reaches another final, it'll be her third in her first five appearances in the Open era. Only Chris Evert made more than three in her first five, and she'll become the youngest to reach three Roland Garros finals since Monica Seles, 1990, 91 and 1992. So much on the line for both players. The preliminaries have been completed. Not too many people inside Chatrier at the moment after that 3 hour plus marathon first semi-final. They'll be back soon, no doubt, at the first change of ends. But it's going to be Iga Świątek, slightly overcast conditions, who's going to get things underway in her all-white outfit, white cap, serving with her back to us. We're on the fifth floor of the commentary box area, and she's got to return straight back at her feet from Hadashma. A whipped forehand then goes long from Świątek. Hadashma's winning. Courtney.
And you can hear it from the Brazilian fans, who you see a lot of Brazilian flags here, and they will be vocal. They already have been throughout the warm-up. You can hear them chanting Bia, Bia, Bia. Beatriz added Maya's nickname. So if we get those fans back in their seats, this is going to be a raucous atmosphere.
Well, they'll be back, I'm sure, as Świątek misses with her first serve. Plenty of Brazilian flags dotted around Chatre. Lots of Polish spectators here as well, so there's going to be a terrific atmosphere as Świątek serves to the left-hander, who clubs a forehand cross-court winner right onto the sideline.
She is lefty, and that does add a little bit of a twist to kind of Iga Świątek's go-to patterns. She will have to make those adjustments fairly early, get used to the spin coming off of Hadajmaya's racket.
So Świątek at love 30. Just pauses, gets ready, serves, jams Hadajmaya up as she manages to get the ball back into play. And Świątek's onto that double hander down the middle of the court. And then she has to adapt quite quickly, because the depth that Hadajmaya is finding early on here is impressive. And it forces eventually another error off the backhand side of Świątek. And straight away, the Brazilian has got three break points.
Yeah, great depth from Hadajmaya, like you said, Marcus. Pushing Świątek well behind the baseline, forcing her to react a little bit too much. Taking good control of these rallies right off the bat.
Well, we've already had a dramatic afternoon. And this threatens to be a surprising start to semi-final number two. Świątek serves, backhand reply. But it was taken quickly. There was a late call. The first serve was long. As Hadashmaya just takes a step inside the court to receive this second serve. Świątek's ready. She's going to serve to the forehand. It's crunch back for a winner. How's that for a first game in a first ever Grand Slam semi-final? Beatriz has arrived. She has settled. I'm not going to say that Świątek's rattled yet, but that wasn't exactly the start, Courtney, that she would have envisaged.
Not at all. And we're just going to get the sound of the crowd going, as that's the perfect start for these Brazilian fans. It's just going to encourage them to be even louder, which is great. But like I said at the start, you know, Świątek doesn't necessarily panic when she does get broken, but that was scintillating from Beatriz Hadajmaya, striking the ball big. And one of the things that she really struggled with in her last few matches is as a player who does have that firepower, she wasn't really unleashing on it. She was kind of grinding through points a little bit too much, playing very physically. That was very, very aggressive. And that's what she is going to have to do against Iga Świątek. She cannot get trapped into long rallies with Świątek. She has to take initiative from the get-go, and she absolutely did there to get that love break.
Well, how many times have we said it? You can break an opponent on the clay. You have got to then consolidate that break. And that's what Hadajmaya's trying to do now, serving to the backhand of Świątek, who goes cross-court deep to the forehand side of the Brazilian. Good depth from both players in this rally. Świątek's there again. Good angle to the forehand once more. That's cancelled out by Hadajmaya, who's moving well from behind her baseline. She's having to from side to side. It's Świątek who's dictating this rally and finally finishes it off.
0-15.
And there's the message from Iga Świątek. Perfect point played from her from the baseline. Just slowly opening it up, getting Beatriz Hadajmaya on the move, corner to corner.
And eventually she found the space to send a backhand up the line. Just a few little glints of sunshine on the court. Otherwise we're in shadow now. There is a pleasant breeze, but it's been another very warm day in Paris. Temperatures nudging towards 90 degrees again. Something just distracting Hadajmaya for a moment, but she's okay. And she's ready, and she's serving at love 15. And she's watching closely before playing a backhand to the forehand side of Świątek, who leans back, lasso-like forehand, into the bottom of the net.
Very intense, very focused start so far from Hadajmaya. She's a very metronomic player. She doesn't miss much when she's at her best, kind of very north-south. very difficult at times to hit through. We're seeing that so far.
One love, 15-all. And again, just a slight pause, slight distraction, another distraction. I don't know if that one came from the crowd. She has a look up at the umpire. Now for the third time, she will look to get this point underway, and she misses with the first serve. You know, the footsteps of one of those very eager ball boys, the ball boys and ball girls, so quick, so efficient. The second serve with hardly anything on it, 103 kilometres an hour, and of course, Świątek jumps upon it. And Hadashmayr, behind her baseline, could do nothing with her plus one shot. 15-30.
Yeah, I think she knew she was in trouble right the moment that ball hit the strings. Just didn't catch a lot of it. 103 kilometers an hour, middle of the box.
Max has been in touch with a couple of stats stressing the importance of the first set. I'll come to those in a moment as Hadashmayr serves to the backhand as Świątek, who goes cross-court, forehand down the middle from Hadashmayr. Now she's onto her backhand, and that's going to float long. And Iga Świątek immediately has break-back points, two of them at 15-40. Świątek is 55-1 in her career when she has won the opening set on clay. And 14 of the last 15 Roland Garros women's semi-finals have been won by the player who comes out on top in the opening set. Of course, that pattern was maintained with Karolina Mukova just a short time ago in a magnificent match against Aryna Sabalenka. Sure. That was another good point until Hadashmayr's forehand just crept beyond the baseline of Iga Świątek. We've had two games and we've had two breaks of serve. Has the Empress arrived?
At Lady Eleanor? Is that her calling card?
I'm worried about Lady Eleanor because she did the mixed doubles final much earlier today. She's had a whole afternoon to herself, knowing there's a dinner tonight. I mean, she could be out of control.
She might have been on the G&Ts a little early. You never know with her. Or actually, you do. That's why I'm saying it.
Oh, you do. Yeah, there's an impending predictability about her behaviour this evening. But we're looking forward to our soiree. It may be put back, certainly if this match goes as long as the last encounter between these two, that three-hour epic last year. Backhand reply from Hadashmayr, forcing Świątek to go quite a way back behind her baseline as she swats away on that forehand. Minimal effort, of course, good depth again from both players. Well, I say that as Hadashmayr again is just long. She's having a look at the umpire. She's not going to question the call. It must have just crept past her opponent's baseline. Relief as Desiree says, bonjour, mischievous. She seems to nickname me mischievous at Marcus_Buckland. Great pronunciation of the Hadashmayr name so far. I've been practicing all night.
You're always prepared.
I try.
That's why you get the penthouse suite. That's why you get the big bucks, you know.
Well, I mean, that was true. And Desiree, as with everyone else, says she is praying for the victims of that knife attack earlier that was, of course, referenced just before we got underway in this second semi-final. So Świątek, 1-all, 15 love, clips the top of the tape, and the ball spins wide, which allows the Brazilian again to step inside the court, looking to seize upon a weak second serve, as she did on so many occasions in their only other meeting last year. She's forced back, though, by a good second serve, which allows Świątek to go on the attack, and then she has to go back. Good forehand from Hadashmayr to the backhand side of Świątek. Of course, she takes the ball so early that you've got so little time to prepare for your next shot, which is it's a backhand up the line from Hadashmayr, but it's missed the mark.
30-0.
I mean, the intensity of Iga Świątek. I've been lucky enough, Courtney, to see her play many times now, but the intensity, the way she takes the ball so early, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it's suffocating. Most players will say that. It's just a barrage of tennis balls coming at you, heavy and harder than you're used to seeing, at a pace that you're just not used to seeing, because she does, as you referenced, take the ball so early, holding her baseline position so well.
30 love serving from the president's box end. That's a good forehand return from Hadashmayr. Deep ball from Świątek, who's now onto her backhand again. The angle to the forehand side of the Brazilian, deep from Świątek. She's looking to move Hadashmayr once more, but she has now gone long herself. Umpire straight down off the chair. I have never seen an umpire come down off a chair so quickly. He bounded down and he confirms the call. It was just long.
He was getting his steps in. That was very, very quick. Interesting note from our stat guy, Max. Świątek's only defeat from a setup on clay was versus Karolina Muchova in Prague 2019.
Well, that might just become a very relevant stat in a couple of days' time.
See what we mean.
But we're not going to write Hadash Meyer off just yet. Terry's been in touch from... Have we worked out it's Maryland?
Maryland.
Maryland. Lind.
Maryland. Oh.